Our scripture reading this morning comes from Ezekiel, chapter 1, verses 4 through 25, and I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. As I looked, I saw a great storm coming from the north, driving before it a huge cloud that flashed with lightning and shone with brilliant light. There was fire inside the cloud, and in the middle of the fire glowed something like gleaming amber. From the center of the cloud came four living beings that looked human, except that each had four faces and four wings. Their legs were straight and their feet had hooves like those of a calf and shone like burnished bronze. Under each of their four wings I could see human hands, so each of the four beings had four faces and four wings. The wings of each living being touched the wings of the living being beside it. Each one moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. Each had a human face in the front, the face of a lion on the right, the face of an ox on the left side, and the face of an eagle at the back. Each had two pairs of outstretched wings. One pair stretched out to touch the wings of the living being on either side, and the other pair covered its body. They went in whatever direction the spirit chose, and they moved straight forward in any direction without turning around. The living beings looked like bright coals of fire or brilliant torches, and lightning seemed to flash back and forth among them. And the living beings darted to and fro like flashes of lightning. As I looked at these beings, I saw four wheels touching the ground beside them, one wheel belonging to each. The wheels sparkled as if made of beryl. All four wheels looked alike and were made the same. Each wheel had a second wheel turning crosswise within it. The beings could move in any of the four directions they faced without turning as they moved. The rims of the four wheels were tall and frightening, and they were covered with eyes all around. When the living beings moved, the wheels moved with them. When they flew upward, the wheels went up too. The spirit of the living being was in the wheels, so wherever the spirit went, the wheels and the living beings also went. When the beings moved, the wheels moved. When the beings stopped, the wheels stopped. When the beings flew upward, the wheels rose up, for the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. Spread out above them was a surface like the sky, glittering like crystal. Beneath this surface, the wings of each living being stretched out to touch the other's wings, and each had two wings covering its body. As they flew, their wings sounded to me like waves crashing against the shore, like the voice of the Almighty, or like the shouting of a mighty army. When they stopped, they let down their wings. As they stood with wings lowered, a voice spoke from beyond the crystal surface above them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come together this morning, we're once again happy and blessed to come together as a local congregation here to worship you. Lord, we have questions about things that the world talks about, things that don't seem to fit in, or the world will tell us does not fit in with Scripture, with the Bible, with you. And certainly we've so far looked at things like cave people and dinosaurs, and this morning Nate will speak to us regarding aliens, UFOs, extraterrestrials, and how those things fit in with Scripture. Lord, we know that you are the creator of all things. Lord, we know that there is nothing that exists that was not created by you. You are the only non-created being. Lord, we know that all of these so-called discrepancies that the world sees in Christianity, in Scripture, they can all be explained. They can all be explained from Scripture. So Lord, I pray that you are with Nate this morning as he brings us your word, as he does answer this question. Lord, I pray that you are with us later as we have a meeting, as we continue to build this church on the solid foundation. Lord, we thank you and praise you. Amen.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Everyone live long and prosper. And with that, I just ensured I'll never date again. It's a lot of fun to have Pastor Lucius, Pastor Lamar, to be able to preach with these men. And over the year, or over the last year or so of preaching with them, I've realized that we kind of encompass the three S's. The first S would be our pastor, which is science. He's very good at taking science in the Bible and preaching and teaching on such things. And then my brother Nathan would be the scholar. He's very good at taking things from the church history and from the Gospels and presenting them in a way we can understand. Then I would be the third S, the strange and the supernatural. And that's what we're looking at this morning, the strange and the supernatural. We're looking at extraterrestrials, UFOs, life on other planets. These are real questions people have today. And we can't just dismiss them off without giving some kind of solid biblical evidence for why we believe what we believe. Before we get started, let's start with Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 and verses 24 to 25. These are Jesus' words that I want to start with. Jesus told them, "Don't let anyone mislead you, for false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and they will perform great signs and wonders, so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. See, I have warned you about this ahead of time." Paul would write in 1 Timothy 4:1, "Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons." In April of 1997, 39 devotees to a UFO cult called Heaven's Gate, led by Marshall Applewhite, killed themselves believing after their deaths that they would join an alien spacecraft that they said was riding piggyback on the back of a comet. This event brought to the forefront again just how many people actually believe in UFOs and aliens. Although Heaven's Gate represents the radical fringe of a global UFO movement, there are millions of less dedicated, everyday followers who believe in UFOs and alien life. In 1997, one poll suggested that 40% of Americans believed in aliens or that aliens had already visited this planet. In 2022, USA Today poll shows 61% of Americans now believe in aliens or that aliens have visited this planet. Surveys suggest that more than 20 million Americans believe they've seen a UFO in the sky. Other data suggests more than 3 million inhabitants of this planet say that they've had a personal encounter with a being from another planet or a UFO. Now, I pulled this from an article called Alien Invaders, and it's from Charisma Magazine back in July of 2006, and it says, "Although they have been seen throughout history, their sightings has literally exploded since World War II. So we need a response besides you're just stupid or a mental case. How do you fit UFOs and aliens into your biblical framework? They're not mentioned by name in the Bible, and unfortunately, most Christians are confused and have no answer when it comes to the paranormal." So let's start with point number one, which is extraterrestrial encounters. Across the globe, UFO sightings are reported almost weekly. Many are published on the internet with related reports of such things as crop circles, and cattle mutilations. Now, crop circles are strange ring-like patterns, and they were first discovered on July 27th of 1991 near Silsbury Hill in Wiltshire, England, and again in 1992 in Durham, North Carolina. There have also been an estimated 10,000 cases of cattle mutilations, which were reported that the animals had all their blood drained or removed without any explanation. And of course, some believe aliens were the cause, because why wouldn't you travel millions of light years just to drain the blood of cows? Many of true believers in aliens and UFOs, they cannot just be dismissed as oddballs or eccentrics, because sightings have been reported by astronauts and even former President Jimmy Carter. Now that one, you know, you can take it or leave it. One of the astronauts was former astronaut, Mercury astronaut Gordon Cooper. In 1951, as a young pilot, he was flying an F-86 jet over Germany when he saw flying saucer-like objects flying in formation. In 1978, he wrote a letter to the United Nations stating he believed in UFOs. In June of 1965, astronaut Ed White, the first American to walk in space, and astronaut James McDivitt were passing over Hawaii in a Gemini spacecraft when they saw weird-looking metallic objects. Now, although photos were taken, they were never released. The United States government, they even had an offshoot of NASA called SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Now, this was later shut down in the 1990s, so no more of our tax dollars are being pumped into it currently. Others believe the government has withheld proof of extraterrestrial life forms from us for years. One such person is former astronaut Edgar Mitchell, who walked on the moon during the Apollo 14 spaceflight in 1971. He even rejects the government's account of the alleged UFO crash in Roswell, New Mexico in 1947. See, the U.S. government, in fact, has had a long history of investigating UFOs and alien life. Their research originated with what was called Project Blue Book, which after examining more than 13,000 cases of UFO sightings over 20 years, they officially debunked the existence of UFOs. Later, a secret group called MJ-12, Operation Majestic 12, was created by then-President Harry Truman on September 24th of 1947 to deal with the public hysteria surrounding certain UFO sightings. Harvard University psychiatry professor John E. Mack recently attracted worldwide attention with his collection of cases of people claiming they were abducted by aliens. And then there was also the release of a film alleging to be an autopsy of an alien from a crash in New Mexico, close to Air Force Base in Roswell. Of course, the footage was blurry, which most have dismissed as an obvious and crude forgery. But nevertheless, this was the main attraction of the 1995 UFO World Congress in Dusseldorf, Germany. Then, of course, there was the Alien Invasion film, one of my top five favorite films of all time, Independence Day, which grossed more in its opening week than any previous film in history. If you're unaware of what this film is, Zach, he's got a little clip for you. So long, Joe. If only it was that easy. Now, we looked at polls from Americans and what their thoughts and beliefs were when it comes to aliens. But a recent poll in Germany revealed, and mind you, this astronaut thought he saw aliens over Germany. Let's look to the Germans. What do they believe when it comes to aliens? 17% of them believe that there's aliens out there, or that aliens have visited this planet. 61% of Americans, 17% of Germans. 31% of Germans believe that there could possibly be intelligent life in other galaxies, although there's no proof to bring this to a conclusion. So how then should we understand the UFO phenomena in this world today and all the hype that goes with it, since the stories and the accounts, they vary nation from nation? Keep that in mind as we look at these things. These are important questions we want to keep when these people come with these encounters they had. In the German magazine Focus, it was recently stated that the Germans believe 90% of UFO reports turn out to be humbug. But they do admit there is 10% that they can't easily dismiss or explain away. So let's move on to our second point, which is the search for extraterrestrials. Now, the Bible tells us that man will accept the lie rather than admit the truth that God created. Romans chapter 1, verse 23 says, "And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles." What better way to show how man has done this than to look at the two Voyager spacecrafts launched in 1977? You guys were really good at wasting tax money. These were sent barreling towards the outer reaches of the solar system. On each ship was a gold-coated phonograph record, offering a message to extraterrestrial civilization. These messages included pictures of the evolution of man from molecules via fish, reptiles, ape-like creatures to humans, however their process goes. It also presents the evolution of man in sound. It was a series of sounds in an evolutionary process. It showed music of the spheres, volcanoes, earthquakes, mud pots, wind, rain, crickets, frogs, birds, hyenas, etc. There's also the sound of fire and speech, of stone, tools, and a tame dog, Morse code, ships, trains, an aircraft carrier, and so on. The Voyager craft also offered greetings from representatives of nations around the world. These messages bring greetings from Earth, calls for help, offers of friendship, pleas for peace, and promise that man is thinking about them. They also call these beings supposed great ones. And just to make sure they were communicating, scientists even threw in some whale greetings too, just in case they didn't understand English. 16 United Nations delegates, including Wallace R.T. McClurley of Nigeria, made an impassionate plea in his message carried by Voyager. It states, and I quote, "To extraterrestrial intelligent beings, we are supposed to inhabit this planet alone, but we know this is not quite so. In Africa, we want to believe that we have you, and you are all-knowing, and perhaps possess high intelligence, and therefore can help us solve the many problems of our world here." Why don't they listen to the message of God? Psalms 121, verse 2 says, "My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." But man has rejected the heavenly message. Man cries out for purpose and a meaning in life, but he is not listening to God. In fact, he doesn't want to listen. As we read in Ephesians 4:18, "Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him." And 2 Peter 3:5, "And for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water." This great infinite intelligence, the Lord God of the Bible, sent his prophets, and man stoned them. God sent his son, and man nailed him to a cross. God gave us his word, and man has burned it and its preachers at the stake. Man cries out on one hand for there to be something more, but then he shakes his fist at God. Why? Because man really wants to make his own God. He doesn't want to acknowledge that he is in rebellion against his creator. Let's move on to our third point, which is the eyewitness accounts. Best-selling author Whitley Strieber wrote about his own abduction by aliens in his book, Communion, Transformation, and Breakthrough. However, when I looked into his background, I found out that he experimented in the occult before his alien encounters. Keep that in mind, too. Linda Cortile is a woman who witnesses say was beamed aboard a spaceship on November 30th, 1989. That'd be an exciting backyard gathering. According to their statements, Linda was levitated by a blue light onto a large, glowing, reddish-orange UFO near the Brooklyn Bridge. When you hear stories like this, you should have questions. Some of it is my former law enforcement background, but when I hear things like that, I'm going to pick apart everything. Who are these witnesses? What's their relationship to the supposed levitated woman? What's their background? What's this woman's background? You cannot just accept things at face value if you're going to give me a story of such extravagance. How do we know that reports of alien encounters are true or that extraterrestrial life exists? Does the Bible say anything about beings visiting the earth? Are these encounters and others like them the result of drug use, overactive imaginations, memories that surface during hypnotic treatments? What should Christians think about UFO encounters? Well, actually, there are far too many documented accounts, both of abductions and UFO sightings, to dismiss all of them with simplistic explanations. Although I find it ironic that there was no report of alien abductions ever recorded in human history until after 1966. Why is 1966 so important to this study on these reports? Does anybody have an answer of why 1966 would be important to this study? If you do, you make my day. You were in 1966, do you know? That was the year that Star Trek, the original series, was originally released. See, reports of strange objects in the sky have always been with the times, and they have been back to the beginning of man. In medieval times, there was reports of flying spears and flying shields in the sky. And now, it seems that after Gene Roddenberry had introduced us to the idea of being beamed up, now people report of having just that happened. But prior to that, no report of that ever happening. Beam me up, Scotty. Now, it's likely that these people's experiences are real to a certain degree. I want you to understand that I'm not discrediting that they had something happen, but it may not be what they thought happened. There was a strange encounter the Egyptian military had under Pharaoh, and this was reported back in 1446 BC. This one we have biblical background for. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21 tells us what the strange lights the Egyptian military saw. Moses records, "By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night." The Jews knew what was going on, but to the Egyptians, this was a very strange phenomena. Now, however, the source of all these alien encounters, undoubtedly, is not extraterrestrial, but it's demonic. Experiences, real experiences, do not mean that they are true or godly, but it may also not just be imagination. So let's go to point number four. UFOs and aliens understood from a biblical framework. Let's look back at the verses that Nathan read this morning. We'll start at verse 15 to 21. "As I looked at these beings, I saw four wheels touching the ground beside them, one wheel belonging to each. The wheels sparkled as if made of beryl. All four wheels looked alike and were made the same. Each wheel had a second wheel turning crosswise within it. The beings could move in any of the four directions that they faced without turning as they moved. The rims of the four wheels were tall and frightening, and they were covered with eyes all around them. When they flew upwards, the wheels went up too. The spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. So wherever the spirit went, the wheels and the living beings also went. When the beings moved, the wheels moved. When the beings stopped, the wheels stopped. When the beings flew upwards, the wheels rose up. For the spirit of the living beings was in the wheels. If we fast forward to Ezekiel chapter 10, verse 11, he records, the cherubim, being the angels, could move in any of the four directions they faced without turning as they moved. They went straight in the direction they faced, never turning aside. Wow, what in the world was Ezekiel seeing? He was seeing the glory of God. He was seeing angelic beings in their true heavenly form. Understand this. Ezekiel, Isaiah, and Zechariah record what angels really look like. Man was created in the image of God. This is what angels truly look like, and that is what Ezekiel was seeing, their true form. He is witnessing what today, if people saw that, would record as a UFO or some kind of phenomena. Even Billy Graham admits that UFOs are astonishingly angel-like in some of their reported appearances. That's taken from his book, Angels, God's Secret Agents. In his book on angels, Billy Graham noted that some Christians whose views are anchored in a strong commitment to Scripture contend that UFOs are actually angels. These people point to certain passages in Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah, and in the book of Revelation, and draw parallels that the report of observers of the alleged UFO appearances. Now that's one stance. Gary Kinman writes in his book, Angels, Dark and Light, I'll quote, I am fairly convinced that UFOs are indeed the manifestation of spirit beings, and for the most part, not the good kind. See, angels never manifest themselves accidentally. This is why I tend to agree with Gary Kinman. When angels come with a report from heaven, they come with a very specific purpose. And when it's time for them to manifest themselves, they will. They don't just get seen, you know, accidentally floating by. Demonic beings, however, who want to pull your attention away from God, who want to pull your attention away from Scripture, they have no problem manifesting themselves accidentally to cause chaos in your mind. UFOs seem to defy the laws of gravity and physics. Albright and Alexander tell us that their motions and maneuverings are strange. They have been known to change their shape suddenly. Occasionally they materialize as if from nowhere, but more often vanish into the air in the midst of sightings. While in view of both human observers and radar instruments, they have performed unbelievable aerial maneuvers, such as 90-degree turns at speeds of several thousand miles per hour. Wow, that's impressive. But let's look again at what Ezekiel describes in chapter 10, verse 11. The cherubim can move in any of the four directions they faced without turning as they moved. They went straight in the direction they faced, never turning aside. Now, physicist Jay Lemaitre, writing in the highly regarded UFO publication, Flying Saucer Review, he says, we can conclude that it is impossible to interpret UFO phenomena in terms of material spaceships as we conceive of them. That is, in terms of manufactured self-propelled machines. So he doesn't believe that they're made of actual metal. Another physicist believes that UFOs only appear as matter, but are really just a concentration of energy. Well, they're getting close, but it's not the kind of energy they think. All of this simply points to a spiritual basis for UFO sightings, some of which may be good angels of God, like what Ezekiel saw near the Kabar River in Babylon. But most of the time, I believe, like Gary Kinman, UFO sightings are a manifestation of angels of darkness. Even as I looked over pictures on the internet preparing for this presentation, I kept getting that eerie, cold feeling where you're hair starts to stand up. Why? Because, again, this is a lesson on the forces of darkness, not on beings from another planet. UFO sightings have never, at least to my knowledge, ever led a person closer to God. In fact, most UFO experiences have the opposite effect. Again, let's go back to 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. Ephesians 2:2, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. John 8:44, for you are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Lastly, Revelation 12:9, this great dragon, this ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all of his angels. Now, the most bizarre of UFO sightings are always those involving alleged abductions, because these are people who didn't just see it, but had a physical encounter. Very strange, very bizarre. Brian Scott is one of the most famous. He claims to have met the occupants of UFOs on at least 5 different occasions. Where did he meet them? Get this, the Superstitious Mountains in Arizona. Wow, what a place for a touchdown, because even the Apache Indians believed that that was a very evil place. As a matter of fact, they actually believed that it contained one of the gateways to hell. So they didn't necessarily think the Superstitious Mountains were a great place to go and try to convene with the spirits. But here's where this man had his encounter. He said weird-looking beings communicated with him telepathically, without moving their mouths or speaking. Now, the messages was a combination of general information about the aliens' origins and their purpose, vague philosophy, and a promise that they would return, which they did. His accounts of his events are blatantly occultic, and they never lead people into the presence of God. Nor can all abduction accounts be dismissed as delusions, dreams, or fraud. There was a man named Jordan, and I'll leave his last name out of it. He used to be obsessed with UFOs, but he found himself losing interest. But then he came across what he calls the real UFO cover-up, which drew him back into the world of sightings, but with a new mission. With a friend who had professed to be a Christian and who had also been part of the mutual UFO network, Jordan discovered the astonishing case of a man who claimed to have halted his abduction experience. It was the first time Jordan had ever heard such a thing, and it happened when the man called out the name of Jesus. Nobody had ever said you could escape an abduction. There was no mention of it in any of the literature, Jordan states. Since then, Jordan and his colleagues have traced about 100 other abduction cases that have been stopped when the person cried out to Jesus. Pastor Guy Malone of Roswell, New Mexico states, on the whole, if you were to call up a pastor and say you had been abducted by aliens, 95% of them would refer you to a good psychiatrist before they would refer you to Jesus. Sorry, speaking of aliens, I can hear him gurgling over there. Let's get to point number 5, the result of UFO encounters. Do they bring people into the presence of the living God as Ezekiel experienced? How did the spiritual lives of those who encountered aliens change? Chris Ward writes, the idea of these beings is to get our eyes off God. If what these aliens say is true, then it denies the Creator. That's the bottom line. They are trying to destroy our relationship with the Creator. And in the meantime, says Ward and his associates, UFOs draw people almost inevitably into New Age beliefs. Ginger Thompson, she was an abductee, and her views of God have changed. She was raised in the Baptist church, but she no longer believes in hell. She says it's where you are now. This is hell. This is as bad as it gets. Jesus was just a man like we are, sent here to show us that we all have the same power that he had. God is not something we can touch. God is pure energy. And as shocking as this may sound, it is a message being preached in some of the largest so-called churches in America today. As a matter of fact, the one I saw was Joel Osteen's wife, who said on national television, "Jesus was a man just like us. And when the Spirit entered him, then he became like God. And you too can become like God when the Holy Spirit enters you." That's blasphemy. That is downright blasphemy. And it also sounds very familiar. I think there was a serpent who once said the very same thing. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. "For God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So let's bring it on home with the conclusion, and let's finish by looking at the delivered. For years, Kathy Land was plagued by an unsettling sense of being visited. When she realized what was happening, she turned to God to end her abduction experience. The pieces started to fit together the night the aliens dropped her. For years, Kathy Land had been plagued by the sense that something wasn't right. There were periods of unaccounted missing time, mornings when she felt heavy and lethargic despite a full night's sleep, which is usually me every morning, but I don't think I've been visited. An unsettling sense of somehow being visited in the night by some kind of extraterrestrial being. But then she woke up one night with these beings' faces inches from hers. And it wasn't me with a clown mask on trying to scare my father in the middle of the night. She states he had dropped me. I could feel his breath on my face. It startled him that I woke up. He had this confused, "That's not supposed to happen," look on his face. The second one still had a hold of her legs. I rolled over into a fetal position and I went right back to sleep. In the morning, she told her son what happened. Now, usually, the family dismissed her recollections as a joke. This time, her son told her, "Mom, those were not aliens. They were demons." Her son's comments propelled her to the internet. Typically, I would not suggest that as being the greatest source of information. But in this case, it worked out. She found some Christians who didn't dismiss her experiences as nonsense. Her faith began to become enriched and deepened as she discovered that God's power could free her from years of torment. "I stopped being so scared and I got mad," she said. "I finally understood. These things were trying to get the world's attention away from God. And how better to do that than to make people think they're being invaded from outer space? These are not benevolent little ETs come to clean up the environment, fix the hole in the ozone layer. They are not from a distant galaxy." Now, she admits she had been fascinated by UFOs since an early childhood. She even one time as a kid reported seeing aliens off some seashore to the police. "Many times," she says, "I would have a strange feeling right before I'd go to bed. I would feel like something had happened during the night, but nothing I could put my finger on." One time her son told of a frightening encounter he had, not with an alien, but with a tall man, a tall dark shadow that was lingering in his room. Understand, the mother opened the door to something demonic. And isn't it ironic that it manifests to what we're obsessed with? To a woman caught up in UFO phenomenon, it appears as an alien. But to a child, an innocent mind, it appears as a dark bogeyman. These things will manifest in any way to frighten us, to take our attention off the one true God. She admits the encounter her son had scared her, but she continued to devour books and TV shows on alien phenomena. She told her family members about her experiences and talked about UFOs with friends. The most laughed her off. "Sometimes it made me feel like I was losing my mind," she said. "Maybe I did dream all this up." But there were too many things over and over again that didn't add up. As she read all the Christian material she could find on the subject, after her spiritual awakening, she began to see how she had been so deceived for so long. "Everything started to make sense," she says. "I realized that everything I had read and had probably been that had probably been happening to me all along, and then it scared me. Then it made me mad. How dare they mess with me and my children?" Land's anger over the years have spurred her to tell her stories to others caught up in the UFO phenomenon. Any unhealthy obsession into the occult, UFOs, anything that does not glorify God opens a doorway. It surrenders the God-given free will, and it allows the deceiver in. This is why it's written in Philippians 4:8. "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." The great question this morning is there life on other planets? The answer is no. How do we know? How do I know? How can I say that with such authority? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, who created?" God created the heavens and the earth. None of us were there at the beginning. Therefore, we only have one eyewitness, the Creator himself. Genesis 1:27, "So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them." The Bible records no life created elsewhere than on earth. But how do we know that maybe God just didn't mention it? Maybe he didn't feel like we needed to know that. Maybe it would frighten us. Well, Amos 3:7. "Certainly the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret plan to his servants, the prophets." God would not just forget to include it. It didn't happen. Space is vast, and we do not have the ability to explore all that is out there. The Lord intentionally created planet Earth for life. Everything in our universe is lined up to where only one planet has proved to be sustainable for life. I'll close with this from Emma Danzi at BibleStudyTools.com. She says, "I would be cautious believing in the concept of aliens just because it distracts from the greater mystery with solid evidence of God the Creator. It's okay to wonder and have curiosity and to seek the Bible. However, biblically, the idea of extraterrestrials is not supported." We'll close this morning with this scripture from 1 John chapter 5, verses 20 to 21. John gives us some very important words to keep in mind, especially after studying such a topic. Now, if you are odd like me and you're interested in these kind of things, you can come out on Wednesday nights. We're diving into spiritual warfare and how to battle and defend ourselves against the spiritual forces of darkness. So I welcome all of you to come out on Wednesday nights if you're interested in that. But let's close with John's words here. And we know that the Son of God has come, and He has given us understanding, so that we can know the true God. And now we live in fellowship with the true God, because we live in fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the only true God, and He is eternal life. Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your heart. Guard yourself. The devil is out there, and he is roaming around looking for any of us that he may devour. But put on the spiritual armor of God, and you will be able to stand firm in the wicked days. Amen? Amen. Thank you for coming, and we'll see you all Wednesday if you decide to come out and join us.